Good evening and welcome to this meeting of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel. On behalf of the panel, I would like to acknowledge the original custodians of the land we are on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to their elders both past and present. The Local Planning Panel also acknowledges the present Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who reside in this area. The meeting today is to consider the development applications listed on the agenda. The panel members for this matter are myself, Stephen Layman, as the independent chair, Helen Lockhead and Sean Carter as independent expert members, and community representative Amelia Thorpe. I welcome everybody to this meeting. Please be assured that the panel will be making its decisions tonight on the planning merits of each application, and following consideration of the views expressed in submissions and by people addressing the panel tonight. Determinations and any relevant decision of the panel shall be by a majority of votes of members present at the meeting and entitled to vote. If votes are tied, the chair will have the casting vote. As an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decisions will be recorded in the minutes as part of the decision. Where the panel goes against or amends the officer's recommendation, the panel will state the reasons. Please be advised that there is a relevant 2 memo for item 4, development application for 174 to 186 and 200A George Street and 33 to 35 Pitt Street, Sydney. The relevant 2 memo provides written consideration of matters which have come to light since the finalisation of the report and the written advice of city officers. The relevant 2 memo will be discussed in further detail by the panel at the relevant item. Copies of the relevant 2 memo are available on the city's website and in the foyer. The Acting Manager of Planning Assessments will provide an overview of each development application as they are considered, key issues raised and the recommendation for council staff. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, followed by the applicant and or the applicant's representatives who may wish to address issues raised by members of the public. Please note that there is a 3-minute time limit for each speaker with a warning bell at 2 minutes. I ask that each speaker be heard in silence while they're addressing the panel and that courtesy and respect be observed throughout this meeting. Please ensure there is no personal criticism directed at any speaker or council staff. Any such criticism would be contrary to the panel's code of conduct and will not be accepted by the panel. The panel may ask questions of the speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. If you have registered to speak, your address to the panel will be recorded. All of the public meetings of the panel are recorded and the recordings are available on the City's website. Please note that there is to be no recording or filming of this meeting other than this. After hearing from speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on each application. This may involve adjourning the meeting to confer amongst ourselves before reconvening the meeting to make our decision, or we may make our decision without the need to adjourn. If the panel considers more information is required before making its decision, the panel may defer its decision for consideration at a later date. Item 1 on the agenda is disclosures of interest. Professor Lockhead has disclosed a less than significant non-pecuniary interest in item 3 on the agenda, the development application for 9 Billiard Avenue. Elizabeth Bay, as she knows the owner, Theo Onisoferu, and the architects Tony Chen Chow and Stephanie Little, teach at the New South Wales faculty from time to time. All are casual acquaintances. No other members have disclosed any pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest in any matter on the agenda this evening at this meeting of the local planning panel. Item 2, confirmation of minutes. The panel notes the minutes of the local planning panel of the 4th of July, 2018, which have been endorsed by the Chair of the 4th of July 2018 LPP meeting. Moving now to the development applications, we deal first with item 3, the development application for 9 Billiard Avenue, Elizabeth Bay.
The first application is for 9 Billiard Avenue, Elizabeth Bay. The DEA application number is D2018/57. The applicant is Mr. Theo Oronofsfru, and he's also the owner. The architect is Chen Chao Little, and the consultant is Urbis. The proposal is for the demolition of a contributory building, the construction of 2 four-storey semi-detached dwellings, tree removal, landscaping and car parking, subdivision of the site into 2 lots. The zoning is R1 general residential, and the proposal is permissible with consent. The recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. The application was notified between 5 February and the 6th of March. 1,066 owners and occupiers were notified. 28 submissions were received. The submissions included excavation impacts, including vibration, setbacks, construction impacts, demolition of the building, design and impact on streetscape and heritage conservation area, solar impact, view loss, privacy impact, tree loss, drainage and subdivision. The next slide shows in red where the site is located and blue where the submissions were received. This is a slide which shows the identification of the site. The site is outlined in red. This is the existing site, which is the view from Billiard Avenue looking southwest. This is the view from Billiard Avenue looking west. You can see the site to the left of the picture. This is Billiard Avenue looking north with the adjacent sites. This is the view east from 8 Maclay Street towards 2, 4 and 6 Billiard Avenue. This is a subject site shown in context of Elizabeth Bay. It's an aerial shot. This is the lower ground floor plan of the proposal, the ground floor plan of the proposal, the mezzanine plan, the first floor plan, the east street elevation, the north elevation, the south elevation, and a section through the building. This slide shows the existing site on one side and the proposed photo montage on the other side. The next slide shows the proposed materials. There's also a proposed materials and samples board here next to me. This is the compliance with the key development standards. The height control is 22 metres. 8.9 metres is proposed, so the proposal complies with height. The proposal also complies with floor space, and the proposal complies with car parking. The proposal complies with height and stories. There's partial compliance with deep soil. That's due to the subdivision, but this is considered minor. And there's compliance with the private open space requirements for the site. The Design Advisory Panel reviewed the application on the 12th of April and on the 7th of June, and was satisfied with the design and stated that it has the potential to be an excellent building. They requested treatment of the garage doors be improved and the use of timber supported, air conditioners to be located in the basement. The cinema does not have windows, and for that to be appropriately conditioned. The issues relating to the application is that there is a covenant on the site, the demolition of the contributory building within the heritage conservation area, design excellence, solar access and views. There's currently a private covenant which is on the site to a level benefiting 12 Maclay Street. The existing height of the existing building is 1.91 metres above the covenant. The proposed height is reduced to 0.5 metres above the covenant. However, clause 1.9A of the Sydney LEP 2012 overrides private covenants. dealing with the demolition of the contributory building and the streetscape, it was considered by the city's heritage specialist that the dwelling was substantially modified. It's located on the edge of the heritage conservation area and next to a detracting building, number 11. The contemporary proposal is considered appropriate in scale, form, bulk, materials, and the retention of the sandstone wall within the heritage area is supported. You can see the location of the site there on the boundary of the conservation area. So in regard to design excellence, the building is substantially lower at 8.9 metres than the 22-metre height control. It has it's comparable in bulk and scale to neighbouring buildings. The street facade is designed and modulated to achieve a balance of privacy and outlook. There's the use of high-quality materials, and the sandstone wall is to be retained. This is a view from the city model of the proposal. The model is also located on the other side of the chamber. So generally improve solar access to 11 Billiard Avenue with some additional overshadowing to the side elevation. However, this is not protected by the city's controls. This is the solar access in midwinter. Yellow is the increase and blue is the decrease. So you can see the yellow. So the proposal has been designed to minimise the view loss. The demolition of the existing building and the reduction in height results in neutral or improved views. So the recommendation is for approval subject to conditions, including vibration, cinema not to be used as a bedroom, and further details on the sandstone wall.
Start again. I have three speakers for this matter. The first on my list is Richard Pocock. You come to the speaker's seat, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for enabling us to come before this committee tonight. That's the first of three brief things I'd like to say before you press the button on me. The second is, with the greatest of respect, may I table to you two photographs of one of our major concerns and a plan. Can I do that now?
Yes, I'm happy for that.
Thirdly, I'd like to say that given my time constraint, I'll have to apologise in advance for the discourtesy of reading my submission. I'd prefer not to, but I don't have the time. So I can tell you that we've lived at number 11 Billiard Avenue now, next to number 9 for 22 years. We love the environment and have contributed greatly as we can to Council's local efforts. Our concerns relate to several issues. Firstly, light. The council report states that our solar access or light will be improved, in part by virtue of the front of the new construction being slightly set back. As far as I can see, this will be by about 1 metre. However, the back of the new building is to be extended by some 10 metres. In addition, the new building is to be much closer to our own land, and whereas the existing building has a gable roof for its entire length, affording us much light, the new side wall will be a solid slab at full height and much closer. We will not gain light, we will suffer substantial loss of light. Mention of bedrooms in the submission along the side of our home is misleading. Our most seriously affected room is a study which is in constant use. The proximity of number 9 proposed, the main wall of the existing building at number 9, that's the new building, is 1.7 metres from our fence line. The new wall is planned to be placed at 1 metre. Further detracting from this distance, there will be a cavity of 400 centimetres, which will be yet further undercut for services. These figures pose a very real problem to our structure. The council report states that the 1 metre separation is generally consistent with the established pattern within the locality and does not result in any adverse impacts. Both of these statements are patently not the case. Excavation of our back wall, for the back 18 metres or so of our boundary, the separation is a sandstone wall of 2.5 metres high, and you have that on those photos. This wall supports a Besser brick wall of up to another 1.6 metres, and on top of this structure is a cladding fence of about 1.8 and in good repair. Beneath this is a further 2.4 metres of garage. Against this whole structure, it is intended to excavate to a depth of over 6 metres, less than 1 metre away from us, and the sandstone rock face is already undercut from previous excavation and is cracked. It will be reduced to little more than an unsafe sliver. The danger of total collapse is inevitable. In our submission, we invited Council to inspect this critical feature, which can only be sighted from our property. To our knowledge, they failed to do so. We've also raised concerns about the stability of the sandstone in our corner of the street, which is regularly saturated by a natural stream, said to run from Springfield Avenue into No. 9 Billiard Avenue. For years, a huge willow tree lived in the garden, thriving on the abundant water flow through our area. Traffic, the modest cul-de-sac in front of number 9 is only 13 metres in diameter. It is the access egress point for some 150 motor cars. Large vehicles, which include fire trucks, regular visitors, rubbish trucks, three daily on Wednesdays, and daily otherwise, already have difficulty turning and manoeuvring. The Royal Australian Navy demand that their garden island gates be kept clear at all times. The area is regularly cluttered by up to 30 Tuesday into Wednesday, and household detritus. We can expect little but disruptive chaos. We ask that if trucks are forced to waste in Billiard Avenue blocking traffic, then they be directed to turn their engines and their exhausts off in front of our house. I thank you again for enabling me to make this submission, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next I have Stephen Davies. Have Mr. Chen Chow on the list, so that's an acceptable course.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Tony Chen Chow from Chen Chow Little Architects, and we are the architects for 9 Billiard Avenue. Our aim for this project from the very beginning has been to design two houses that provide excellent amenity to the residents, whilst being considerate to the surrounding neighbours and having a positive contribution to the streetscape. To achieve this, our overall design vision for the scheme can be best summarised as a contextual response to the site's orientation, geometry and heritage surroundings. The design aims to capture the essence of the significant surrounding buildings with a balance of mannered formality and details that incorporate a playfulness as seen in the surrounding heritage items. The proposal utilises high-quality materials which will age gracefully over time. We genuinely believe that the proposed design responds appropriately to the setting, the character of the area, and will therefore enhance the public domain. We realise from the beginning that this is a very sensitive site, and we have therefore developed a design through a consultative process with council staff, the Director of Planning, and the immediate neighbours. We have consulted council through the pre-DA process. This process was very constructive, and we have responded to all of council's suggestions and concerns. We have also had multiple meetings with surrounding apartment owners and have altered our design on numerous occasions to also respond to their concerns. We have also had two presentations to the design advisory panel, and which they were very supportive of our design. We are very grateful for Council's recommendation and the design advisory panel support for our scheme. My colleague Stephanie Little and I would be happy to answer any sort of further questions regarding the design, and I might just hand you over to Stephen, who might say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you. My only comments there were that we, as the heritage consultants for the proposal, were cognizant of the conservation area and the nature of the building on the site, and we determined that the building was more neutral than contributory, and that was supported in Council's report. This is an opportunity site. It sits between two residential flat buildings, which are contemporary in nature, and provides really an opportunity site in Elizabeth Bay to provide what we think is a very excellent design as infill within that particular area. So it's we're very happy with the report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Pardon. I have a question to Mr. Chen Chow. You spoke about response to setting. And appropriateness, or words to that effect, in the context. It's not the view that sort of that emerges from a reading of the submissions that we received from the public. So could you elaborate on why you say that it is a good response?
When we start the design process, we look at many things. We look at the site context, the shape of the site, the geometry of the site, and the surrounding buildings. We realise that there are a number of high-rises surrounding our building, so the opportunity for us to get natural light is really in the easterly direction and also through skylights. We then look at appropriate setbacks from the from Billiard Avenue. And you can see from the design that we responded to the setbacks. The front setbacks respond to on the lower levels to number 11, and also on the upper levels to number 11. The height also corresponds roughly with the height of number 11 Billiard Avenue. So in terms of the scale and the setback, it corresponds to the sort of surrounding neighbouring buildings. In terms of the architecture, if you look at the surrounding buildings, there are a number of interwall apartment buildings. Those interwall apartment buildings are very, very matted. They're very, very sort of structured facades, generally made up of pilasters and a series of sort of solid void relationships between the pilasters. What we've done is to separate those layers. So you can see from the perspective, there's a series of blade walls, or almost like a colonnade, and behind that is set back is the actual facade of the building. And by separating those layers, we've created what we call a interstitial space, which deals with privacy, which balances view and privacy. From the neighbours looking into our property, and also from us looking into the neighbouring properties. And that interstitial space allows for a very animated and enhances the sort of public engagement of the building along the street edge. In terms of, I know there was an objective from number 11. I mean, we had basically done extensive overshadowing diagrams. We had corresponded with the top unit on the north, which is unit number 5, and demonstrated that the amount of overshadowing was okay for her. Unit number 3 below, we don't increase the number of the overshadowing to the bedrooms, because the existing building already overshadows that level, and the ground floor level, again, we don't increase the overshadowing to the bedrooms, because the existing building already overshadows those bedrooms.
Does the panel have any of the panel members have a question? So, is this a matter that we wish to make that determination? I didn't know if before that we did that whether Mr. Yarn had anything to add regarding the conditions.
Look, it's understandable that the neighbour is concerned about the demolition and construction of the new building, and in particular the impact of excavation may have on their amenity during the construction phase. So cognizant of that, you'll have seen that the report does have a full suite of conditions that include construction management plans, demolition, excavation, and construction management plans, which do have to be submitted for approval, which includes setting the oscillation index oscillation index per second, and there's a separate condition about compliance with that approved plan. So there's also a requirement, a condition for a geotechnical report to be peer-reviewed and resubmitted for approval. So it is a belts and braces conditions approach towards the proximity of the excavation. It needs to be removed gently with very low vibration and in a fully informed fashion by taking geotechnical samples on the site. And all of that's to be submitted back to council prior to excavation taking place. The other thing I would like to add is that there is a duplication of conditions, and we recommend that you consider deleting 80 and 81, which actually are a duplicate of 65 and 66.
Yeah. We have a recommendation from the...
I just wanted to say that I think that the conditions with regard to construction would probably satisfy the neighbour. I think that they probably, as Graham-Yana said, a belts and braces approach, so that within the context of a development opportunity site, this is probably as good as you can probably get, I think, under the circumstances.
Mr. Yan was pointing out the stringent conditions included in the recommendation to deal with geotechnical issues, the sort of geotechnical issues that you were raising. It seems that those matters have been taken into consideration and are reflected. The matters that you raised about geotechnical concerns have been taken into consideration and are reflected in the conditions of consent. You can ask that. It's not the role of this committee to do that. It's the role of the committee to... make a determination, and we will do that this evening. On that basis, subject to the deletion of conditions 80 and 81, I would move that the recommendation be adopted. Do we have any dissent from that, or are we in agreement? So we're in agreement that, subject to the deletion of conditions 80 and 81, that the recommendation be adopted, and that's 4-0. Sorry. Next, we have item 4, which is the development application for 174 to 186 and 200 A George Street, and 33 to 35 Pitt Street, Sydney.
So this is DA number D 2017-1479. The applicant is Lendlease Development. The owners are Lendlease Circular Quay Pty Ltd and the City of Sydney. The proposal is for bulk excavation, shoring works, construction of footings, lower basement slab and lift core slab and associated site works. The zoning is B8 and the proposal is permissible with consent. The recommendation is there's an alternate recommendation on the table as well, so that's at the back of this, but if that's not followed with, the recommendation is approval subject to conditions. The notification information is the exhibition period was from the 23rd of November to the 24th of December 2017. 295 owners and occupiers were notified and there were no submissions received. This is a site map. The site is outlined in yellow. This is a site plan. The dark pink or the hot pink area, it's the Mervac Triangle, which is the part that's owned by the City of Sydney, and the lanes, the light blue, and the rest of the subject site. So it shows Jackson's on George, 178 to 186 George Street, and 33 to 35 Pitt Street. This plan shows the future building footprints for the site, which includes the tower, future Jackson's on George, and a community building. This is a site viewed from George Street, Crane Lane and Blue Anchor Lane, left and right, looking east. This is the Mervac Triangle, looking east. Rugby Place on the left, looking east, and Crane Lane on the right, looking south. This is the site viewed from Pitt Street. The site viewed from Underwood Street on the left, looking west, and Pitt Street. This is the site viewed from Pitt Street. So the site is part of the APDG block that was subject to a planning proposal and site-specific controls. There is a VPA with the city to deliver George Street and lane-level plazas, a public cycle facility, laneways, business innovation space and public art. Design competitions were conducted for the Commercial Tower and Jackson's on George buildings, and D2017-424 approved the demolition of the office buildings on the site. So D2017-1620 is currently under assessment for construction of a commercial office tower with basements, separate commercial building and public domain works, including new laneways and public plazas. This application is to be considered by the Central Sydney Planning Committee on the 9th of August 2018. The proposal is for bulk excavation, shoring works, construction of footings, lower basement slab and lift core slab and associated works. Proposed works are to accommodate four levels of basement containing car parking, end-of-trip facilities, loading dock, waste storage, plant areas, service and utilities. This is the excavation plan. This is the excavation in long section. You can actually see the proposed tower building here. This is the commercial building, which will be the new Jackson's on George and the George Street Plaza. This is the basement design for level one. The proposal complies with parking. The proposal was externally referred to Transport for New South Wales, Water New South Wales, Sydney Trains and the New South Wales Office of Environment and Heritage. The recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. There's been an updated alternative recommendation. This was due to revised GTAs issued by the Heritage Council of New South Wales, which superseded the previous general terms of approval. It included deferred commencement conditions. The deferred commencement conditions did not provide sufficient certainty. So there's been an updated alternative recommendation to delegate to the CEO determination of the application, subject to receiving advice from Heritage Council of New South Wales that matters in the revised general terms of approval have been addressed.
I have one speaker, Kimberly Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm registered for the purpose of answering questions, so I have nothing further to add to the submission, but I'd like to thank the City for the recommendation. Yes.
I turned it on. Have you seen that, the amended general terms? And
no, we're happy with the amended general terms. Thank you.
Do any of the panel members have questions of the speaker? So I'll move the alternative recommendation, which is set out in the relevant information for local planning panel memo. I don't think I need to recite that. So all of the panel is familiar with, they've seen the recommendation. What do you say in terms of or support or otherwise? Unanimous agreement. Okay, so the alternative recommendation set out in the relevant information memo dated 31 July 2018 is adopted by the panel. I think that's the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance. That's the end of the meeting. Information will be published online in due course. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thanks. It's different everywhere, you know. It's not quite the same in Wollongong. It's not the same in